fire on the earth. Our Holy Father has said the church is missionary by her very nature. The church exists to evangelize. He's called for a new springtime of evangelization. To help us obtain the tools each of us needs to answer the church's call, this is Fire on the Earth. Here is our host, Peter Herbeck.
Good morning, friends. This is Peter Herbeck, your host. I want to continue what began yesterday, which was taking a look at St. Peter's first letter, a letter that he wrote to five communities were established by either him or St. Paul, and he's encouraging them, he's exhorting them. It's small communities of Christians, new communities, that are living in an aggressively pagan culture, and they're being persecuted, and life is difficult. And so Peter's writing him a letter from his heart, a pastor's heart, and what Peter writes is, I think, so instructive for us today about how to live in a culture that's getting more and more secularized. It's pushing further and further away in its public life from God and the things of God. At least in many places in the country, that's the case. Yesterday, I talked about really the opening few verses of the letter where Peter talks about God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit, the different ways in which we are helped, touched by the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, each of them in a distinct way. He said that in God the Father, we've been chosen and we've been destined. We're chosen and destined. Chosen what? To become children of God, destined to share in what belongs to Jesus Christ, the beloved Son of God. Everyone who's baptized into Christ shares his identity and participates in his destiny. Secondly, the Holy Spirit sanctifies us. That is, the Holy Spirit comes to dwell in us. It's possible for us to become holy, to be saints. That's really what we're called to be. And that's possible only because the Spirit that raised Jesus Christ from the dead, the Holy Spirit, comes to dwell in us in baptism, given to us by God the Father and the Son, to make it possible for us to do what? He goes on to say, to obey Jesus Christ, to love the Lord, to follow in his way, to be a disciple. A disciple, as I said yesterday, is a learner, a lifelong learner. We are now, we know where we're going. We know the purpose of our life. The purpose of our life is to follow him. It's to be conformed to Jesus. It's to obey Jesus just like Jesus obeyed the Father. Jesus is leading us to become everything God the Father meant us to be. He chose us for a purpose, to become his children and to glorify him in how we live. Jesus makes it possible for us to do that through his passion, death, and resurrection and the gift of the Holy Spirit, and he leads us on. And then Peter goes on to say that we're sprinkled with the blood of Jesus Christ, who sets us apart as well and consecrates us to be a royal priesthood in a holy nation. All of us are meant to be priests, that is, offering sacrifices of praise to God. So as I ended the program yesterday, I quoted chapter 2 of 1 Peter, verse 9 and following, where Peter gives a beautiful summary of who we are and what we're called to be. He said, but you are a chosen race. You're a royal priesthood. You're a holy nation. You are God's own people, that you may declare the wonderful deeds of him who called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. Once you were no people, but now you're God's people. Once you had not received mercy, but now you have received mercy. You're God's people because the mercy of God has come to you. Mercy, God extending forgiveness to you and to me. Sinners destined for hell, separated from God, as St. Paul said, living without hope in the world. God in his mercy, for if God so loved the world, he gave his only Son, that whoever believed in him would not die, but would have everlasting life. God has come to make all things right in Jesus, and he wants to make it right in you through his Son, in the power of the Holy Spirit, in his church, so that you'll become what you were meant to be. You'll be made right. You'll be set right. Jesus has come to literally put you on the path and then to give you power, a power that will transform you, to give you the identity that the devil tried to steal from you through original sin and through the fall, to give you a new heart, not a heart that the catechism says mistrusts God or that is dominated by sin. He's come to give you a new heart in the Holy Spirit so that you can love what God desires for you. You can love what he loves. You can say yes to become everything you're meant to be. The world is selling you and me identities every day. Idols they construct in front of us to say, this is what you should have, this is what you should be, this is what you should possess. And we're vulnerable to it because we're lost in a haunted wood in this world. This is a fallen world, alienated from God, disordered in many ways, still manifesting in its creation the beauty of God, but fallen and at war. You can just see how much the culture is unraveling. For example, all that's been going on in Hollywood and all the underbelly of the sexual perversion that's been going on there, God is revealing. This is a moment of great opportunity. This is God's grace. I mean, people in that situation feel like the worst thing possible is happening to them because their careers are being ruined. They're embarrassed. They're shamed publicly. And they're devastated by it. That is a difficult time. It's a difficult moment. But it's a moment of grace to come out of darkness and come into the light. It's an opportunity to put away the false identities, the masks, the hiding, the hypocrisy, and come before God and say, yes, you're shedding your light on me now. You're exposing the hidden sin and the hidden wounds in my life that I myself have caused, that I'm responsible for, that I've said yes to. And he's calling every single person in that situation, not just those publicly exposed, but every one of us, to come to God and to say, Lord, I need you. I've sinned against you. Forgive me. I want to change my life. I want to repent. What does repentance mean? It means to be converted, to mean change direction. The direction I was in of moving away from you, of saying yes to my passions and my pleasures, I want to say no to them, but without your help, I can't do it. Please forgive me for first sinning against you. Here's something that people rarely seem to think about. We sin against individual people and we need to repent for it. We need to ask forgiveness for it. We need to do whatever we can to restore the relationship, to literally say to the person we've sinned against, please forgive me. What I did to you was wrong. I don't ever want to do it again. And I ask you for your forgiveness. And then to do what we can to make it right. But the first person who we've sinned against is God. He's the chief one that we've offended. That's what Jesus reminded us of. That's what Mary and Fatima reminds us. Not too long ago, we celebrated the 100th anniversary, just last month, the 100th anniversary of Fatima, when God the Father sent an angel to these three little children in Portugal, and then sends his mother as well to teach them how to respond to the crisis situation that was happening in the world. The outbreak of war that was just around the corner, the First World War, then the Second World War, and up to 70 million people killed in those two wars together. What was the root of it? What was the cause of it? Mary made it clear. Sin. Wars come from sin. They're punishment for sin. It's people who are living in sin, refusing through their pride, through their arrogance, whatever, refusing to give to God what belongs to God, to follow God, to seek what God desires them to seek. And as a result, God gives them over to what they insist on. And that can become really, really ugly. And in that case, it was the unfolding of the First and the Second World War. So the God who has chosen us in Christ, who's given us the grace and power of the Holy Spirit to sanctify us, to make us holy, has given us new power and a new capacity to live a new way of life, to be literally now a chosen race, a chosen people, God's own people, is what Peter says here. And today, in the examples that I gave earlier, God is calling the country out of darkness to come into his light. He's exposing the corruption, not just of certain individuals, but the massive amount of sin and disorder that's going on under the surface in the lives of so many. We're all being called by God to come now and to repent, to change direction, to break from the idolatry of this world that suppresses the truth about God and refuses to acknowledge God and to give God thanks, but to become everything that we were meant to be. And God is doing this, I believe. He's giving us an opportunity. But if we don't respond, just like in the days of Fatima, when Mary said, if you don't respond, something catastrophic is going to happen. And I think we're right there on the brink of it, because the world is running away from God. Significant parts of the world are running away from God. It's a moment of opportunity for us. So Peter again reminds us who we are in Christ and calls us to stand in that. And it's so important for the church to remember her identity, that we're chosen by God to be a royal priesthood, to be a people who offer sacrifices of praise to God, to honor God. I was just thinking of the kind of thing you read in the Old Testament, how the prophets King David in the Psalms, how the exalt a heart that exalts God. I was reading a prayer from Tobit, chapter 13. Here's what the heart of a priestly person looks like and sounds like. I'll just read Tobit's beautiful prayer and exhortation to his fellow Israelites. He said, "Exalt God before every living being, because he's the Lord our God, our Father, and God forever." Isn't that a beautiful, simple prayer? It's just the beginning of the prayer. But he says to each one of us, and I think that's an exhortation we should remind each other of every day, from brothers and sisters. Let's exalt our God before every living being. Let's not run away and hide. Let's not be intimidated, but let's live for him with our whole heart, every day offering each day to him. He goes on, he says, when you turn back to him with all your heart, that is a way of saying repenting and turning. When you turn back to him with all your heart to do what is right before him, then he'll turn back to you and no longer hide his face from you. So now consider what he's done for you and praise him with full voice. Bless the Lord of righteousness and exalt the King of the ages. That's what Peter's doing at the beginning of this letter. He's remembering what God has done and he's exalting God, not surprised at all that the brothers and sisters he's writing to are living in the midst of persecution and trial, because that's exactly what Peter lived in, and that's exactly what Jesus said. All those who are conformed to him, who bear his image, his stamp, who follow him, they too are going to experience what the master experienced. Tobit goes on, he said, in the land of my exile I praise him and show his power and majesty to a sinful nation. Turn back, you sinners. Do the right before him. Perhaps he may look with favor on you and show you his mercy. This is something the church needs to be communicating right now in homilies, in conversations, in the way we're living, to a world that needs to come back to God. This world is a land of exile. We're aliens and strangers, Peter tells us. We're living in a world that's fallen and is hostile to God. This is not our home. Tobit is showing us how a priestly people lives in a land of exile. He said, in the land of my exile, I praise him and show his power and majesty to a sinful nation. Turn back, you sinners. Do the right before him. Perhaps he may look with favor on you and show you his mercy. We're called to show his power and his majesty to a sinful nation through repentance, through forgiveness, through signs and wonders, through loving the poor and the weak and opening our hearts and opening our homes and showing a different way of life. Tobit goes on, he says, as for me, I exalt my God, and my spirit rejoices in the King of heaven. Let all men speak of his majesty and sing his praises in Jerusalem. How are we supposed to live in this time of exile? How are we supposed to live in an increasingly secular society and culture? Take a tip from Peter, from Tobit. As for me, I will exalt my God, and my spirit, in my spirit, I rejoice in the King of heaven. Let all men speak of his majesty, and may all sing his praises in Jerusalem. That's what the Holy Spirit has anointed each one of us to do. Let's live that way today. God bless you. Have a great day.
This has been Fire on the Earth. It's heard here Monday through Friday at this time. Our host has been Peter Herbeck, Vice President of Missions at Renewal Ministries. You can contact Peter or listen again to this program on the web at renewalministries.net. Fire on the Earth is brought to you by Ave Maria Radio.
Friends, I'd like to offer you my new booklet, Light in the Darkness. We're living in difficult, unsettling, and even dark times. We're engaged in a spiritual battle that is intensifying. I wrote this short booklet to help you understand the nature of the battle we're facing and help you lay hold of God's abundant grace for you in these challenging times. If you'd like a free copy of my new booklet, call 1-800-282-4789. That's 1-800-282-4789, or contact us on the web at renewalministries.net.